sparks. What light are you talking about?
Everyone has an inner light. No matter how dark, it's always there to guide you the right way. It lives in us all. Even in these. Sometimes people forget this, so don't be afraid to use your voice and remind them.
To follow the light?
To follow the light.
A long time ago in theaters far, far away, four nerds got swept up by one of the greatest pop culture waves in cinema history. Now, as adults with a lifetime of fandom under their belts, they get together and discuss the mythology, characters, and business of creating Star Wars. Turn up your headphones, dial back your sensibilities, and join the wretched hive of scum and villainy as we take the low road to resistance.
This is episode 23 of season 4 of Force Insensitive, a Star Wars podcast. And on this week's show, we're going to be winding up our coverage of season 2 of Star Wars Visions as we talk about the final two episodes, The Pit and A'u Song. I believe I'm saying that right. Maybe. And we'll get into some news. We'll talk about what we got going on for the next couple weeks leading up to Ahsoka and probably, I don't know, a dick joke or two, maybe a song, maybe, I don't know, some other kind of sophomoric humor or something along those lines. But you know what? Let's get set up for our attack run. This is Black and Blue Leader standing by.
Millennial Falcon standing by.
Green Sativa standing by.
Are you standing by getting high?
That's a given, but I was trying to be normal to not piss off Alberto this week.
Trying to be normal?
Yes.
How do you do that? How does one in your shoes be normal?
Well, first of all, it depends on your consideration of normal. Secondly, I'm just trying to be dull and boring like Alberto's life.
Wow. Wow. So waking up at 5 a.m. is dull and boring now?
He's got to make the donuts.
He does. Maybe he does have to make the donuts. He'd probably be happier.
Fuck you.
You know, what? Jesus, Alberto. I'm defending you all over the place. Maybe he'd be happier making donuts.
He's a saucy little chili pepper tonight.
Wait, he's Flea or Anthony Kiedis? Which...
He's the redneck.
Which one's less problematic?
He's Anthony Kiedis. He likes to play the malakas.
Under the bridge downtown. I can't even do a fucking accent. Don't I? Oh, man. Yeah. That was short-lived.
Sometimes I feel like I ain't got a partner. Sometimes I feel like my only friend.
All right, well, anyways. I don't even know. We're making jokes. Making jokes. That's all we do in the show, make jokes.
Well, I tried to be normal, and then you gave me shit for that. So you.
Well, because it's like a joke.
Alberto wants me to be normal, and you want me to be stupid.
Wait, how are they different?
You're trying to say that my normal is stupid. You troglodytic cretin.
I'm not putting. I ain't putting words in your mouth.
Scabies on your taint.
Rat scabies.
If rats are where you're going to get your scabies, then yes, it can be rat scabies. It can be raccoon scabies. It can be possum scabies. For all I care.
Come on, I'm talking about. You know who I mean. Rat scabies is fucking from the Damned. You know?
Okay.
Drummer for the Damned, Rat Scabies.
Yeah.
That's who.
I forgot about him, actually. So you just reminded me. I forgot there was a dude named Rat Scabies.
Yeah.
Fuck. I haven't listened to the Damned in years, so this is not fresh in my mind. I did, however,
go on an incredible journey about an hour while I was working on the sink, an hour before I got on here, though. I fell down. I saw a news article that, and I can't remember her name, Sherry something. She was the lead singer for that band Vixen back in the 80s. And it was an article on the fact that when she left the band, she went and got her license and now is a dental hygienist. Really nice article about how, you know, she put her life back together, quit drinking the whole shit. But it took me down a spiral of fucking Vixen-related music while I was working on the sink.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I actually didn't know that it wasn't the original singer. I mean, I haven't really thought about Vixen in years, so it's not like
I think she quit the band in like 2001.
So let's see here. The so lead vocals.
The guitarist died a few years back.
Oh, yeah. What was her name? Oh, Janet Gardner, I think.
Was yeah, the guitar player?
No. The singer.
Yeah, yeah. You know where they got their start? Like their first big fucking break?
No.
Seriously? Did you ever see the movie Hard Bodies? Back in the 80s.
Actually, I don't think so.
Really cheesy teen spring break party film.
Yeah.
And stuff, but they were the band that was playing at all the house parties in that movie.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
Yep.
Let's see. It looks like they had two people die from the band.
did they really?
There was a keyboard player. They were only in the band from 80 to 83.
Oh, the keyboard player was just sort of put there by the record company after the album came out. I don't think they were official member of the band.
And then
at
a
any
bassist
point.
from 97 to 98.
Okay, so not the original.
Yeah. But anyways, it's funny. Actually, I said I hadn't thought about that band in years, but I actually just recently watched an interview with
a vampire?
No. Although I don't know, maybe he is a vampire, I don't know. But with Richie Kotzen, and I guess his
oh, yeah.
his wife is the bassist in that band.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Did not know that. But I will say this, and I will go to my grave saying this. The album Richie Kotzen played on with fucking Poison was the best fucking thing Poison ever produced.
Native Tongue.
Native Tongue, dude. Yeah. That fucking Richie Kotzen.
He's awesome.
To a whole new level, dude.
He fucking talks about that a little bit in the interview.
Does he really?
Yeah, it's with Justin Hawkins. Do you know him for the singer of The Darkness?
Yes, The Darkness, yeah. He actually played with Wolfgang Van Halen when he did his dad's jams with the Foo Fighters in England.
Yeah. He's got, his YouTube show is like one of my favorites, current favorites.
Really?
If you haven't seen Justin Hawkins Rides Again, check it out on YouTube. He does like daily videos, like mostly like reaction to like videos and songs, but he also has a podcast that he does as well. That's more long form.
But he seems like a very entertaining guy.
He's fucking hilarious.
He doesn't
hilarious.
Take himself too seriously, and I always enjoy those cats.
Yeah, his stuff with that the Foo Fighters where he did Van Halen with Wolfie.
Hot for Teacher and...
was it Panama? Animal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also did... He does David Lee Roth really well. And he also... I've seen him do... he's a huge fan of Queen. And he's done...
done some Freddie Mercury
stuff
shit.
with Queen.
Nice. Yeah, he seems like a fun cat. I'm not as familiar with them other than that thing called Love Tune, which if I... Like, now that I've even said the title, it'll be stuck in my head for a fucking day. But yeah.
There you go. There's our musical tangent for the for the episode.
But yeah, like I said, Vixen, down the rabbit hole I went while I was I had to pull all the faucets out of my sink.
What one other funny sort of connection is the drummer for Vixen, who I think is maybe not the original drummer, but she's been in the band since like 86 or whatever, is John Petrucci's wife. So the guitarist from Dream Theater. He's married to the drummer for Vixen.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy. They all went on to get married to other rock people. That's weird.
Oh, that's funny.
I used to take that band back today, actually, because there was a band that we used to do some tours, small touring stuff with, that had a really great female singer, and they used to do a couple of Vixen songs where she outdid Miss Gardner, to be quite honest.
Oh, it's I guess it continues. There's another like connection. Looking at the band, the lead guitarist now, the new lead guitarist, I think she's been in the band for a few years now. She's from Boston, and she was in a band called Jaded, which I saw play all the time, like around
that
here.
That sounds familiar. It's the same Jaded I'm thinking of.
They got pretty big. I don't know if it was just local, though, you know, but...
Yeah, it's hard to tell what's just regional, what made it nationwide. It's like, I'll bring up bands that I just think were nationwide back in the 90s to people who were out in California or in the Midwest, and they're like, who? I'm like, dude, they were everywhere. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's
it
funny.
Turns out it was just like the East Coast corridor.
They used to do, I think they started as cover, and I think they went original, but they did, they would do... like covers of like Girl School, like Wasp, Kiss, Vixen, I think actually. So,
right. When you say Girl School, my brain goes to that Britney Fox song, not to the band.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Anyway, Alberto's falling asleep.
If he's even there still.
Yeah.
I love hearing about your old people music.
You know something? One day you're going to have gray hair on your ass too, kid.
Not all of us just listen to the Phantom Menace soundtrack over and over and over, Alberto.
Everything Alberto does has to seem epic, so he just walks with that song cleared up. I'm going to climb these stairs. Oh, let it roll.
Duel of the Fates, man. Come on. You can't forget that.
I got to ride the
song off that album.
What's your favorite? Is it some Gungan fucking song?
Yes, the secret Gungan track on the vinyl.
The secret, the hidden track.
The hidden track.
When the CD clicks up to fucking 76, it just goes off.
It's called Gungan Waterproofing.
And it's just a series of tubular bell sounding bubbles breaking the surface.
With porn wah guitar, like Bixen.
He's so horny right now, he can't stand it.
And then you have Boston House in the background. It's like an instrument.
Going to bed.
Dude, I want to fucking program that into my MIDI controller.
Yeah, it'd be like that scene in fucking Ferris Bueller's.
Blah 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 blah.
It'd be like.
You know, dude, I had to actually play that game about a few months back with somebody. I was like, "What was your favorite '80s movie?" And it boiled down to, "It's like it's hard. It's hard to beat Ferris, dude."
Really, what? It truly is. You didn't say Weird Science, you motherfucker.
No, I did not say Weird Science because it is. When it comes to the teen comedies, now if we're just going straight out comedy, Caddyshack is always king. Period. Full stop. End of story. But fucking, when it comes to the teen ones, man, Ferris Bueller, hard to beat.
Alberto, what's your favorite 80s teen comedy? Alberto's like, okay, boomer.
No, he's a filmophile. He should have one.
That sounds creepy when you say it. Like, I think cinephile might be better.
The only 80s movies I've seen are Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
What the fuck?
Oh, my God. Well,
that's not true. Have you never seen Goonies?
Nope.
Have you seen Back to the Future?
I vaguely remember the first one.
Well, that's the one you have to see.
Definitely not the scene, the second one.
Second one's okay. It's not as good as the first, though. Third one,
Isn't it just the same movie?
Not exactly. His parents become assholes. Wasn't that it? Or his kids become assholes. That's what it was.
The only thing I know about the second one was the fact that they tried... to put makeup on someone to make him look like Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
And then he successfully sued them.
Yeah, he sued them. Yeah.
Well, you know what, dude? That is a benchmark for the whole AI fucking conversation they're having.
I know.
If you really think about
Yeah, they totally could use that because, yeah, fuck that. Somebody that dude deserves to get paid if they use his likeness.
Right now, be like, yo, man, look at fucking Crispin versus, was it Warner Brothers that put out?
No, Universal.
Universal? Yeah, tell, send Fran Drescher a mail, be like, yo, go check Glover versus Universal.
That's Crispin Hellion Glover to you. By the way, I would be shocked if we've never talked about this, but you've heard his music, right?
Oh, fuck, dude.
I remember I used to play it, so.
You used to play it there, and then the last time you did that Patreon thing, you played one, too, while I was listening to that.
Oh, yeah.
I always forget about it for long stretches of time until it comes up again.
Alberto would love it.
Yeah, totally.
But anyway, yeah, but that's weird, man. But I'm just laughing at the irony of Johnny giving someone else shit about not seeing a classic movie.
It's Mr. So, fucking. Wait, which classic are we talking about? Are we talking about Sky Captain still?
No, we're talking about fucking
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, right?
The Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns, man. The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Hang 'em High for a few dollars more.
Most of those movies came out 10 years before I was fucking born, okay? So I can pull the Alberto card.
Okay, well, dude, technically, they did, you know, you're not that young.
All right, well, you know what? Fuck all this noise, okay? I don't want to talk about movies before I was born, stuff that was before Alberto was born.
Yeah, you were so mad you killed the podcast.
You son of a bitch. You had to mention that.
He took it.
I was trying to move on clean.
Oh, fuck that.
You son of a bitch.
You broke your first rule.
What is that? Don't talk about
editing.
It?
No editing.
Oh, I'm not editing. That's why I hit record right from where we ended.
Technically, that's editing.
No, it's not. My fucking computer dies.
You made us try to pretend like nothing happened. That's editing. Well,
it's not editing. It's directing.
Oh, okay. But, okay. You're a producer. You should stay out of the director's chair. How's that?
I guess. Alberto can direct.
Sure.
Yeah, he'll direct. That's cool. All right.
Give me one of those... Oh, what was the camera angle you guys told me to do last night? Dutch. You can give me a Dutch angle?
Give me a Dutch oven.
No. No, sir.
All right. Well, let's move on to talking about some fucking Star Wars. And we're going to talk about The Pit, episode 8 from season 2. And it was directed by LaAndre Thomas and Justin Ridge, and was written by LaAndre Thomas. And it is from Dart Stagio, or Stagio. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Sounds like the best pirate name ever. I'm Dart Stagio.
Well, how do you say? I mean, it's like a Japanese name, but it's S-H-T-A-J-I-O. Stagio. I typically can do Japanese names, but I just don't. This is a weird one with three consonants together. So, anyways, this one originally dropped May 4th, 2023, just like all the other Visions. And this has the voice talents of David Diggs, Anika Nani Rose, Jordan Curette, Cedric Yarbrough. I fucking love that dude.
Is David Diggs the cat that was in Blood Diamond? I know that name, and I can see
he was in
face.
The Snowpiercer TV show.
I know it is.
He played Andre Layton in that.
Yep. Yep, he was fantastic. He's actually just, he showed up in a new show where he cut all his dreads off. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, it looks like he's done a bunch of voice work as well. So Yeah, it also features, let me get the rest of the cast. Do you guys know who Cedric Yarbrough is?
No.
Is he?
You
is
probably know him. No. The two most well-known things that he's been in was Reno 911. He was the black cop.
Oh, yeah.
And he was also in Black Dynamite, which he played. But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community.
Okay, I know that dude.
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
So, yeah, he's fucking hilarious. I love Reno 911. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. You'd probably recognize him from other shit, but those are the ones that stick out for me. Oh, yeah, man, there's a Reno 911 movie called The Hunt for QAnon.
Is it really?
TV movie.
Yeah, that came out last year, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a Paramount Plus. That's why I never saw it.
Well, I mean, better chance of you seeing that than the revival season that was on Quibi.
Oh, God, that's right. I did hear about that. Yeah. Yeah, the cast is fucking awesome. I love Thomas Lennon and Kerry Kenny.
You know who the Reno 911 folks have to thank for me ever picking up on that show was actually fucking because of Super Troopers.
Oh, really?
Like after I saw the Super Troopers movie, I decided that I was like, I'm finally going to, because I kept seeing commercials for a long time.
Oh, okay.
But I never watched it. So after Super Troopers, I was just kind of in that mode. So I started watching it. It was pretty good.
What about The State? Did you ever watch The State?
Oh, God. Long time ago on MTV, I think.
Wasn't that their show? I think it was, yeah. And then they followed it up with Viva Variety. Yeah. I love that troupe. That troupe, though. Like, the comedy troupe, there was like a good bunch
good
of them
mix.
Only a few of them went on to do Reno 911, but The State was Michael Ian Black was also in that, although he was in a lot of Reno 911 episodes. But it also had Robert Ben Garant, Kerry Kenny as a, you know, who is in Reno 911, Joe Latrullio, who also is in Reno 911, and Brooklyn 99.
Brooklyn 99. Yeah. He's you ever seen him? He's you know, the Craig Ferguson talk show that was on in the 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few. I never watch it religiously though.
Oh yeah, he was sort of one of the regular guests because they were friends and stuff, and that shit got ridiculous funny.
Yeah, I can imagine. And also, Ken Marino. He was the "I dip my balls in it" guy.
I dip my balls in it.
And Ken Marino was also, speaking of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he was one of the captains that replaced Holt. He was like the dumb one.
I don't know if
you guys remember.
So
yeah. Anyways, he played one of the captains that replaced Holt. But yeah, that show's fucking hilarious.
Oh, you're talking about Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Well, I was talking about The State, but then I started transitioning into... Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got confused. No, I remember The State back in, from what I remember, of the 90s.
93, I think it started, yeah.
Remember when TV comedy stuff that came on in the on Sundays, man, was where I was locked in on Sundays. If I had a chill day, I watched all the MTV. That's where my adoration of the Young Ones came from back in the day when the Young Ones used to come on every Sunday night. Yep. Fuck, I love that show. But they used to do that comedy thing all through the evening on Sundays, so that was sort of my Sunday viewing.
Yeah, yeah.
The State and the original Jon Stewart show.
Yep.
Which I just rewatched some reruns of that original Jon Stewart show just to see some of the musical guests he had on. Man, there were some great musical performances back in on that show. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah.
The Pit.
The Pit. So The Pit, yeah. So Cedric Yarbrough does a voice. Then we also have Steve Blum, who also does the voice of Zeb. And Matthew Wood, who does countless voices. He does all the Roger Roger droids. He did, why am I drawing a blank on his name? The Twi'lek in Jabba's palace, the guy, his like kind of right
Bib
hand.
Fortuna.
Bib Fortuna. Thank you. Yeah. He does, Bib Fortuna in.
You're exiled from the community for not knowing Bib
Fortuna. That's okay. That's all right. It's probably for the best. Yeah, he did Bib Fortuna from the Book of Boba Fett when they did that end scene where he was, you know, the fatty. He was the Domo. He was like
My boogie.
Yeah. All right. So that's the voice actors. And then for the synopsis, a fearless young prisoner forced to dig for Kyber by the Empire plans a risky escape for he and his people. So this one here is animated by Dart Stagio, as I said. And the style may look familiar to some folks because they've done a pretty good amount of stuff. Most notably, people would... let me just pull up their... I want to make sure I'm not forgetting any of the things that they've done. Where's... Of course, it's not not easy to read. Where's the fucking thing? Projects. Portfolio. There we go. I don't know. I guess maybe this studio, maybe they branched off because I don't recognize any of the stuff that they've done. So I thought I read that they'd done a bunch of other stuff. I'm looking it up, though. I'll see. So it's a... Okay, this is cool, though. It's Japan's first black-owned anime studio. And so based in Tokyo. And let's see. Sorry, I know this is super interesting. I was just trying to find out the info that I was looking for. Okay, Okay, so they've done... they worked, I think, on Castlevania, I think, was one of the ones.
Okay. I've seen some of that. I never finished it, but I've seen some of it.
Overlord, Tokyo Ghoul, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Seven Deadly Sins, Fire Force, Attack on Titan. That's the one I was looking for. So they did work on Attack on Titan. But yeah, I mean, it's a recognizable style. It's a cool style. And
this is the kind of anime that I like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I enjoyed this one because it was the style I liked.
So this one was, I think it kind of fell in line with some of the stuff we were talking about last week, where it was about family, you know, and the thing I liked about this is we got to see more about the oppression of the Empire in this, this time. And
yeah, I know you enjoy that oppression story.
Jesus Christ. I don't enjoy the actual oppression. Yeah. Making you guys lie about a break.
This does fall in line with what we talked about last week with the French one, was that, you know, it had a lot more of that Andor vibe. And this had that too. Yeah. You know, this story is
sort of just like,
even though they're dealing with Kyber crystals, it was nothing about a Jedi.
Well, I mean, at the end, there's illusions.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole bulk of it was more just, you know, the strife and impending danger. So, you know, it got heavy, though. I can't say that, too. It went to a dark place.
Yeah, it did. But yeah, they are literally driving these people into the ground, like, you know, making them dig into this pit. And I mean, we have no idea how many Kyber crystals they found because they didn't really show. But
that time lapse thing made it look, and we watched the city build in the background. So it was quite some time.
Right. Yeah, a lot of time had passed. But I mean, the kids were still kids. So, I mean, maybe years, but I imagined that because they didn't show the amount of Kyber crystals, that they probably dug this fucking pit for a small amount. Like, they make them fucking work their asses off for like very little gain in terms of the kyber crystals, but...
Well, now that we know that the Death Star's main beam was fueled by kyber, that now just makes fucking sense. You know, because you have that weapon, you demonstrate it, you're using up some kyber. You need more and more for that to feed that war machine, because, you know...
Yeah.
It's an analogy, man.
But they showed them literally digging like a fucking hole in the ground, like it was, you know, and just showing these people like are just, you know, as mentioned, completely oppressed by the Empire, and the Empire is just kind of watching and guarding while they just fucking dig down into the planet. It
like Alberto's day job.
What, making donuts?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
He's got to dig those holes out of those donuts all fucking day long, man.
Where does he put the donut holes?
Well, they have a whole section of donut holes down there, don't they? He just gets that big dough patty, shoves his dick through it.
Whoa.
Out on the fucking tray, and then there you go. Bingo, bango, bongo. Donuts and donut holes. That's what he does all fucking day long, dude.
Alberto, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to stick up for you.
Why?
Maybe later. I don't know.
Maybe later in private, he'll stick it up you.
Wow.
That's what you said.
That's something. That's something, all right.
He's going to make you the donut.
Alberto's like 400 miles away from me.
Well, be happy your dick's that big. I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Jesus fuck. Wow, I don't want that. I wouldn't even brag about that.
Motherfucker's got to ride around in a fire truck just to fucking keep his dick in check.
Jesus.
Wind that fucker up on the back.
Wow.
Hey, good for you, man.
Good for who?
You.
For what?
With your 400-mile dick.
Okay. Oh, man. Anyways, what about
trying to pay a motherfucker a compliment?
Let's do fucking first impressions. That's what I'm trying to say, Rocky.
I do believe you're blushing, sir.
Give me your first impression about the pit. This show is the fucking pits.
Plural. Yeah, you know what? I enjoyed this one. It was sort of a solemn, gritty tale. Like it just. You know, again, it was kind of seeing a different angle of, you know, like you said, the downtrodden oppression, the fucking harshness of being in Imperial custody and what they, you know, put prisoners through, which we witnessed in Andor and have seen, you know, in other ways. But, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it because, you know, it was a good... heartfelt tale of survival and during a harsh point. There was nothing to write home about it. It wasn't anything, you know, nothing so massive happened that made me go, oh my God, you know. But I liked the style. I liked the story. The voice actors were on point. And like I said, it went to that dark place where I wasn't expecting when those troopers threw that dude off the side. So, I enjoyed it. Can I say it's my favorite of the season? Not by a long shot. It's still way better than some of the ones in the first season. But, this whole season two has been a win for me so far.
All right. Alberto, how about you? What'd you think of the pit?
It was neat. One thing I really like was the stormtrooper design.
Yeah.
I really,
looked very gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it didn't deviate too much from like traditional, but I don't know. I just thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah.
It was an interesting take on the whole Kyber thing. You know, the only other time we've seen it is, you know, like all the episodes where they send the younglings into their deaths to go.
Until the next episode of Visions.
Probably up there, I would say, for this season.
All right. For me, I dug this one. I think it it definitely was like this, you know, sort of downtrodden tale. And I kind of like the fact that they weren't too shy to, you know, like kill a main character or, you know, like, but the thing about it was he almost inspired like this mini rebellion that they had, right? Like, I think that if it weren't for him, they probably wouldn't have had this mini rebellion, if you will. So in a sense, like, the arc made sense, and I liked when he ran to the city and was trying to get people's attention. You know, I don't know what he thought was going to happen, but I was like, yeah, like, this isn't going to go the way he wants it to. And of course it didn't when the stormtroopers found him. But
you know what Alberto said about the way the stormtroopers were drawn, which I agree with. There was another group that were drawn a certain way. There were three Rodians in one shot when he comes into the city, and I just love the way the art style complemented the way Rodians looked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I literally just saw that scene as I'm watching it here. So Rocky always loves a good Rodian.
I do, man. They're, and yeah, Rodians are my favorite fucking Star Wars race. And I just had to explain to somebody my favorite Star Trek race the other day too.
What's your favorite Star Trek race?
Oh, Andorians, head down, hands down, dude.
Cassian Andorian?
Yeah, Cassian Andorian. That's actually a good crossover, man.
What the fuck is an Andorian?
Well, here's the thing. I know Alberto has
the blue dudes with the antennas.
Yeah, the blue dudes with the antenna from the original series.
I have no idea.
they've been pretty prevalent in Enterprise because Shran is hands down one of my favorite characters in Star Trek, period. And he was in Enterprise. I know Alberto doesn't like that show. But that being said, in this new episode of Strange New Worlds, they do a lot of flashbacks to the war with the Klingons. And the one dude who was the head of the special forces unit that was on this planet was Andorian. And he was missing an eye, had an eye patch, and he was a fucking psycho dick, man. I was like, fuck yeah, Andorians represent. So anyway, Andorians on Star Trek and fucking Rodians in Star Wars, followed very closely by our Bothan friend. Huh.
Who we still haven't fucking seen.
Yep. It better come in season two. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe they should be called Andorians. You can combine the Andorians and the Rodians into one.
Well, they both have antennae. So I think if you put the forehead ridges.
Or the Randonians. Could be like they're really horny.
Are you Randonian,
yeah,
baby? Yeah.
Do I make you Randorian, baby?
Do I make you Randorian, baby?
So fucking stupid.
You're giving me ideas and shit. I need to go fucking Photoshop later. I need to make a Randorian.
Oh man, but yeah, I think this one was good. I feel like this would have been a better one earlier on in the season for some reason. Like, I feel like if it was before the Spy Dancer, it would have hit a little differently.
Maybe. That would have been a good lead-in.
Yeah.
Spy Dancer, if they had been coupled.
But I feel like there's enough. I mean, they're totally different in terms of, like, the main story and everything, but they're similar enough
story
themes. Yeah. Where when you see this one after the Spy Dancer, which for me is my favorite of the season so far. I mean, we haven't got the last one.
I still find that crazy, but I totally can kind of agree with it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked that you guys hit on that like I did. Like, I thought I was going to be the only one that came out of it because I just love spy shit.
Yeah, just, you know, just did it for me.
Who did it now?
Yep.
Did you watch her twirl from the ceiling in slow-mo as you fucking pulled your pud?
No.
Okay.
Did you imagine me doing that? Like, why would you even have that on the tip of your tongue?
I was dicing up sausage for pasta earlier and immediately thought of your dick.
I don't know if I should be offended or
no, you should
compliment.
Be offended. Nope, offense.
You should be afraid. I was literally popping up your dick. It was a metaphor.
Well, it was on your head. It was on your mind, so.
It was a metaphor skin.
Metaphor skin?
Yeah. It was my new Transformers character. Guess what he turns into? He starts out as a Volkswagen bus. You take it from there.
He turns into a chode.
No, that's Chode. That's Chodestein.
That's Choda. He's the Jedi Master Choda.
Choda boy. I love that movie.
I'm Choda boy.
Stuntcock.
Shit! What was the funny thing? What was the funny thing we said a few minutes ago? I forget. I was trying to write down episode titles.
Do we say something funny?
Probably never.
Was it with the Transformer name?
Maybe. What was that?
I don't fucking know. It's so long ago. Suck.
It's so long ago. It's like 3 minutes.
We're so good at this, Ma.
Oh, well.
This is our calling.
This is why we spend hours of the week doing this, because we're good at it, Mom.
Why are you talking to your mom? That's fucking weird.
I just feel like it's a way to seem respectable.
No.
It's not my fault you don't talk to your mom. That's terrible. You're a terrible son, Johnny.
Talk to Alberto's mom.
Oh. Oh my.
But that means I probably have to talk to Mara, so I don't.
Do you talk to her like Boss Nass?
Just sound like you did a baby in that.
Poor Alberto.
Yeah, poor me.
Yeah. Poor Alberto has to hang out with us. All right, so I think I talked about my I was talking about Spy Dancer, and yeah, I think if this one had been a little bit earlier in the season, I think it would have hit a little bit differently. Overall, though, I did enjoy this. I liked the story, and I liked that they weren't afraid to, you know, like I said, kill a character and have this sort of rebellion grow out of that. So it wasn't like, you know, it didn't mean something, you know, it paid off. So, and I like the whole Fall of the Light thing, which, you know, we played at the outset of the show, at the beginning, that little clip. So yeah, I dug this one though. And I did like the Stormtrooper designs as well. I liked how they looked very gritty and almost a little dirty. And I also liked how we had, there were so many different races that lived in the city. I thought it was fucking awesome. Like, there's Rodians, as you mentioned. There is Athorians. I mean, I could go on and on. I saw so many different ones. So pretty awesome. But yeah, that's pretty much my first impression. I liked the way it ended. Aqualish. What's the ones? Once again, I'm going to lose my cred here. Weequay. Never mind. I just remembered the Weequay. But lots of different races in this. And I like that they ask the Stormtroopers, like, what should we do, Commander? And then he's like, let's roll. Let's get the fuck out of here. So they just fucking took off. And, you know, I like that they saved all the people. And the end. Everything's happy. And then we had like a little bit of a Jedi homage, or not homage, but sort of hint at the end that that little girl, what's her name? Livy, was force sensitive, which I thought was, you know, like not bad. Like, and it wasn't one of those things where it sort of takes up the whole fucking episode where it's just another Jedi story. I think that it worked with the way they did it. So, yeah, I dug this one. That was pretty good. Anything else you guys want to call out? I mean, this one's pretty straightforward. There's not a lot to really talk about. I mean, we get to see Kyber crystals, which is cool. And, you know, they're buried. I don't know. Obviously, we have no idea what the planet is, but they're, you know, buried in the ground. and they're just sort of like mining them from the ground. So it's a little bit different from how we've seen them in previous stories. But I thought it worked, and kyber crystals are pretty awesome, so I was all for it. All right. So did you guys have anything else?
Sorry, I was feeding my dogs applesauce that was getting pretty noisy up in this place.
Pork chops and applesauce?
Pork chops and applesauce.
Alberto definitely doesn't know what we're talking about.
No, there. He definitely doesn't get that reference.
Nope. Pork chops and applesauce. Talk about
shit before you were born. That shit was almost around the time my parents were born.
Yeah, what is it? Like 60s or yeah, is it
oh
60s?
No, before that, dude. We're talking about the late 30s.
When were the first talkies? Oh, I'm talking about Brady Bunch.
Oh, you're talking about Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Wasn't it W.C. Fields?
I don't know. Maybe that's where they got it from. I just know they got it Brady from, Bunch.
Yeah.
Pork chops.
They were doing
and
a W.C. Fields.
Pork chops and applesauce.
Oh, one other thing I want to say about the pit was that fucking, what was it, like a hedgehog or whatever that fucking animal was awesome.
Oh, the roly-poly in the wall, yeah.
Yeah. That made me happy. And I actually did really like the sort of like mid, this is like one of the only ones that did like a mid-credits sequence, I think. And I really dug that. We could see what they were painting the whole time. I like that. Did you guys see that?
I don't think I did. I think I left room to pee when the credits started.
Okay, yeah. Because, I mean, you might miss it because I think this is the only one that did it, but they show the that little hedgehog or whatever it was coming out of the ground, and it looks up at, there's a huge rock with a painting, and it is, it's the boy who died and the girl holding a kyber crystal. And then around them, we see like stormtroopers on one side, and then the like some of the other folks from the pit on the other side. So it's just kind of a cool little mural painted on a rock. All right, so let's move on then and start talking about A'u's song. And this one here is directed by Nadia Dares and Daniel Clark. Also written by those two, and it was animated by Triggerfish, which is an animation film studio based in Cape Town, South Africa. What?
That's my porn name.
Oh yeah, Triggerfish.
Triggerfish.
It says the studio is best known for its animated feature film Adventures in Zambezia, Kumba, and Seal Team, as well as the work they have done on television specials created for UK producers Magic Light Pictures. So let's see. I guess they're also based in Ireland, but their main headquarters is in South Africa. Let's see if there's anything else I recognize.
Yeah, I definitely got the African vibe from this episode hugely.
Yeah. And so this one, it's funny that these two are back to back. I guess in a way I didn't mind that these two were back-to-back because they did have similar themes. I did think the animation was quite good in this. It was different, but I think that it really worked pretty well.
Now, here's the thing. I really dug the Jedi in this one, and I'm thinking that she may have been Mirialon because there are purplish tinted side of darker than that, but they do have a skin complexion that phases into a purplish.
Yeah. The thing I really liked about this was the landscapes I thought looked gorgeous. They did a really good job with the landscape.
Especially when the kid was up on the tall peak looking down.
Exactly. And it's funny because I feel like the characters almost don't fit in this world. You know, like it's almost like a different style from the way the world looks. Not saying that it's like jarring or anything, but like when I look at the you know, the landscape and everything, it just seems to have a different look and feel to it than the characters.
They were blue teddy bears, man.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, this one was interesting where They're also mining for Kyber crystal, but all the Kyber crystals are corrupt, like by the Sith. So they're all red, and they mine them and then give them to a Jedi who purifies them. So, you know, kind of a similar to the last one, but inherently different in the way that they, who they're getting the crystals for. So I thought that was kind of a neat little twist. I don't know how the Sith would have corrupted them all, but still, I like the idea, and I like the red crystals. I thought that was it was just a cool vibe, cool look. So
judging from how weird and awkward the landscape was, you could see that maybe thousands of years ago, maybe it was a, you know, area of dark force power.
Yeah.
Maybe it was rustic, and maybe over time it came back to life with water and foliage and shit.
Yeah.
But it was very craggly and could look really creepy if you gave it a different texture. Very easy. It looked like Dathomir in some spots.
Yeah, I can see that. So let's do first impression. And I guess, go ahead, Ruck.
Why is it always me?
Because you're a verbose motherfucker.
Okay. I dug this one. This one was very cutesy. This reminded me in the same vein of the one we watched with the daughter and mother racing team. Kind of feel to it as far as texturally, you know, like CGI stop motion.
Mm-hmm.
Animation. I enjoyed the characters. They're very cutesy. It's definitely for to catch the children's eye. They did a good job with that because it was still believable as an alien race in Star Wars, but it was definitely on the Ewok side of cute. I don't know if they were cannibals. I'd like to know more about that. But
on the Ewok side of cute.
Yeah. They're cute, but they'll eat your face off. It was cute. It was fun. I thought that I do like the fact that I know you guys are tired of Force users and stuff, but I do like the way that other cultures come at the Force, you know, because Force powers manifest in everybody differently. There's lots of things we haven't seen done before. There's lots of things that were done in books that nobody knows about. It's always like when there's a different power that sort of is shown to us, and what this little kid had was something very unique, and I enjoyed that. So and it wasn't over the top with the Force stuff until the end action sequence kind of thing, so it really wasn't, you know, wasn't swinging the Jedi dick per se in this episode. A Jedi was there.
Would you prefer really if the Jedi was wielding their dick?
If that's how they fight, again, the Force does make crazy things, man. And he could have got a fucking Kyber crystal stuck in his urethra.
Oh, boy.
Next thing you know, the Force fucking reacts to it, and, you know, his dick becomes a saber. Who's to say? Stranger Things. But, I thought it was cute. I enjoyed it. Again, this whole season has definitely grabbed me much harder than the first season did. By it being so diverse.
Yeah, it does. It is helpful that they did it that way. I think it really does make a difference. Even though we had some very distinct art styles in the first season, it's still from the same culture, you know? So I feel like it definitely does make a big difference, and it's good to have the variety. You know, I feel like, I mean, I guess we'll talk about the seasons, compare the seasons, like, you know, as soon as we wrap this one up, and talk about our favorite ones. But I feel like I still think maybe the highs were a little bit higher in season one, but the lows were also lower. And
really?
Well, I mean, it was a year ago, so I'm just
really
trying to.
There was only one high in the first season for me, to be quite
There was
honest.
Two for
well,
me.
Two if you count the seven Jedi.
Yeah,
story.
The duel okay. And the seven. Like, for me, those were really fucking awesome to the point where I wanted to know more about both of those. Like, you know, and then they did a book for the duel, and the seven. Whatever it was, I can't remember the name of that one, but
the Seven Jedi, I think, or something like that.
I'll look it up real quick. But in that one, I feel like that was almost like a pilot, and I wanted more. Like, I really wanted to know more about those characters, you know? Oh, it was the Ninth Jedi. That was the one.
There you go. We had the number wrong.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like, and also like the Village Bride, I'm looking at the list of, I thought that one was pretty good too. Not as good as the other two, but, you know, and then you had ones like the Twins, which was just, I thought, just fucking terrible.
Yeah, I couldn't.
And Tatooine Rhapsody was just kind of silly. And then T-O-B-1, Toby, that was the one that looked like, holy shit, Astro Boy. That one was kind of cute, but it was just okay.
Yeah. There was only a couple to write home from season two, but there was actually quite a few in this season. I really enjoyed the fucking Banshee one.
Yep.
There was a lot more. See, that's why there were some good highs in this season.
Well, you love a good high, so.
I'm doing that now, excuse me. But in favor of the fallen dude who got tossed over the side. Can't remember his name. I would disagree with that statement just purely because there were a couple of good highs in season one, but I've enjoyed far more on a pretty constant high level with the episodes in this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to disagree with you because you're fucking wrong, man.
All right.
Fucking wrong.
So, Au Song, I guess I'll give mine real quick then. I thought this one was good. I it was cute. I really enjoyed sort of like how they did her connection to the Force, like her power, I guess, her special power. And I like that people kept trying to like silence her, and in actuality, like she was trying to help, but you know they kept kind of like. You know, don't do that. Like, it's dangerous, you know, but turns out that she actually was, you know, could have, you know, like cured or healed all the kyber crystals at once and they wouldn't have to do anything else, you know? So, and I really dug when she goes into the mine and you could see all the red kyber crystals. I thought that was a really great looking scene. So, yeah, this one's pretty good. It's definitely not on my list of like top favorites of this season, but I think it has its place in the overall season, and I definitely didn't dislike this one. And it had some cool bits, and I like the Jedi in it as well. And yeah, how about you, Alberto?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really like the art style, just in general. It almost felt like the most kind of like Disney one. I don't know. Like,
I could see that.
Maybe it was just kind of the story, and definitely the art style kind of lent itself that way.
Yeah, the aliens reminded me of the Lilo and Stitch alien.
Yeah. But yeah, the concept of finding like the corrupted kyber crystals and having to kind of purify them was kind of neat and kind of backwards from what most Star Wars lore says.
Yeah,
which I mean, like I'm not it's not a big deal, but it's just kind of a neat change.
Yeah, it's one of those small things that for me didn't. Ruin it, especially because this is sort of like an Elseworlds, if you will, you know. So yeah, I thought it was kind of a cool little wrinkle.
I thought that as well, but it just made her power that much more intriguing because it's like it can only be done the other way unless it's this kid.
Yeah, true. Yep. Yeah, I think overall it was pretty good though. There was yeah, the animation looked great. I would actually love to know how they animated this because, like, the texture of the characters looked like it was, like, physical. You know, like, it was, like, a knit, like, character or something. You could almost see, like, the hairs.
It's that little Big World reference that I made back on the mother-daughter one by the Wallace and Gromit folks.
it has that vibe little, to me.
Little Big Planet? Yeah. Okay, that's
what did I say?
Little Big World.
Oh, okay, sorry. Same.
Yeah, I got the Little Big Planet vibe too.
Yeah, totally.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's kind of a cute story though, and yeah, really impressive with the way like their face and their hair like look like they're yarn. You know, like it looks like it's very
good texture.
Yeah. So I'd be curious and see. I actually wouldn't mind one like Disney gallery of season two just to get like a quick, you know, a little 5-10 minutes with each studio about some of the cool things that they did and maybe seeing how they animated it. I think that would be interesting.
I will say this about season two. Season two has had more studios involved that make me want to go see their other projects, having seen what they did in Visions. So that's not something I really gleaned from the first season at all outside of the book for the duel. But this actually makes me want to go see what other stuff, especially that French crew. Well, actually, you said he was Japanese. Yeah, the French crew did. I really enjoyed. I would go see what other stuff this Japanese studio has done, because this is the style of anime that I kind of enjoy.
Yep.
So, yeah, so this season is actually making me go seek out other work by these studios. So that, for me, is very, you know, another big notch in the belt of season two of this series. And if they continue this series doing it this way with more of a, you know, and maybe have a couple of the groups who, like the people who did the duel, do a sequel to that, or, you know, the ones who did, you know, the Spy Dancer one, come back with a, you know, next phase of that, things that actually had an ending that could go further, you know. Just as long as it's a good mix of studios. I would like to see the Irish folks do something too. Look, because once again, that art style, the way they did the whole animation of the Banshee in the Cave was fucking great.
Yeah.
So
speaking of that, I feel like these two stories, the one with the, was it Screecher's Reach?
Screecher's Mountain. Yeah, Screecher's Reach there.
Screecher's Reach and this one, like, are almost like opposite sides of the coin. You know, like, in terms of like the way they end. And, you know, so I wouldn't have minded if those sort of bookended the season. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think I like what they do with the show. Like, it's interesting. There's just, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, when we watch this, it's not the same as Bad Batch. Like, Bad Batch, I expect more because it's the team, you know, it's the team who did, like,
Clone Wars.
Yeah. And they've already proven that they can do really awesome shit. And so with this, though, I know that there's no continuing stories. It's just, you know, here's a 15-minute glimpse into this one world, and that's it. You know, so, you know, if we don't like it, you know, just wait 15 minutes and you got another one, you know?
Exactly.
So I appreciate that about it. But I do, you know, but with my Star Wars, like, I would also like to be able to get attached to characters and then see them continue, you know, like.
I like my Star Wars with coffee and cream.
So that's one of the things that I wish, you know, inherently this is the way it is. Star Wars Visions is just a vision into the Star Wars universe from different cultures and different animation studios. So I get it, but, you know, it's like one of those things like, well, if I could have my druthers, whatever druthers are.
Or, yeah, I was about to say, you talking about the dude from Green Acres? That's Drucker. Sorry.
But yeah, if we, you know, if I was in charge of
Alberto,
this.
Alberto, Green Acres was a show back in the 60s.
The fuck?
Can you sing the song, Johnny?
No. I think I've only seen Green Acres like once.
Really? Oh, you're missing out on a great fucking theme song.
I'm going to stop everything. I'm not going to watch The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, and I'm going to watch that fucking show.
Wait, play the theme song to Green Acres.
Oh, I've seen Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Dude, Johnny, that should fucking hurt you right in the tank.
It doesn't hurt
man.
Me.
Alberto had seen The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
It didn't come out in the 80s. I'll watch it.
All right, here's Green Acres. I probably know it when I hear it, but let's see. Oh, yeah, okay.
Green Acres is a place to be.
Yeah, I think I've only seen like maybe an episode or two. I don't know why I know the theme song so well, though. I mean, it's classic, I guess.
Anyway, you said Druthers, and I think the pharmacist on that show in the little town is Mr. Drucker. So that's where I got that from.
All right.
Moving on.
I'll let it be. I'll let it pass.
Let it be. Don't get me started. All right.
The letter B. The letter B.
Letter B. For bitch, yeah, and you can teach.
All right, so we're done talking about this episode. So let's, kind of quickly, we'll compare, like maybe talk about our favorite episodes of this season and then kind of compare it to the first. So I don't know, does anyone have one off the top of their head that they, I mean, mine, is, I've already said, so, and that hasn't changed. So mine is Spy Dancer was my favorite. Let me take a look at the others. So I'll name them all just so you guys can have the titles. We had Sith. That's the one with the like painter. That one looked awesome. Like I really dug that one. It had a great look to it. Screecher's Reach. Then we had, In the Stars. Which one was this one? I don't remember this one. Oh, In the Stars. That's the one with the sister.
Oh, the two sisters.
Two sisters.
Right at the plant.
Yep. Yeah. That was the one. I Am Your Mother. That was the Wallace and Gromit one with Wedge. Then we had Journey to the Dark Head. That was the South Korean one with cut the head off the statue. They were trying to do that. Yep. Then the Spy Dancer, the Bandits of Golak, which we did last week, the Indian one. And then this week, The Pit and Au's Song. So, yeah, for me, I think The Spy Dancer is still tops for me. There was, out of all of these, though, I don't think there was any that I didn't like.
Like, exactly.
I liked them all to varying degrees.
Yeah.
You know, there's some, like, Spy Dancer was the one by far I like. Well, I wouldn't say by far, but the one I liked the most. But I could also say Screecher's Reach had some really cool stuff in it. Sith had some cool stuff in it. In the Stars had some cool stuff. Like literally all of them. I'm Your Mother, like, was super cute. It may be my least favorite, because, you know, like it just wasn't as serious, you know?
Yeah. Here's the one that I'm going to give honorable mention to that has to, just from a design standpoint. I still absolutely love, love, love the fucking Inquisitor that was in the Bandits of Golak.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
That motherfucking design still is in my head. Yep. I close my eyes at night and I see him staring me down, man. He's a good fucking villain. Well fucking crafted. So I will say honorable mention from this whole season is, and the episode was great. Don't get me wrong. I did enjoy the episode too, but that character stood out like a motherfucker. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that. How about you, Alberto? Which any of these Head and Shoulders your favorite?
Trying to think. The dancer one was cool.
Yep.
Because it took like a familiar kind of plot trope thing and made it a little bit more interesting. And I kind of like the French Resistance World War II vibes to it.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I'd probably go with that one.
All right.
I think that's the winner for all of us because, you know, that's definitely the one that hit me in my two loves, Star Wars and spy thrillers.
Hit you in the loins?
Why is it sexual with you? What if it hit me at my fucking rectal G spot? There you go. You happy?
Jesus Christ. No, that's actually not happy.
I monkey buttered all over my floor.
Monkey buttered?
Yeah.
Where the fuck did you get that?
Primates.
I don't want to know. They're always jerking off.
They're always making monkey butter.
I thought they were flinging poo.
Well, they do that too. But you monkeys are whacking off everywhere around the world right now. There's got to be at least 200,000 to 300,000 monkeys jerking off
right now, right this moment,
right this very fucking moment, sir. Huh. Think about that when you sleep tonight. When you fall asleep, think of all the monkeys and primates over the world that are just spanking it. It's ridiculous.
Wow. That'll help make me fall asleep quicker, I'm sure.
A primate's sexual prowess is not to be deterred, sir.
Well, hey, if you say so.
That's why Alberto's quiet all the time. He's
what?
He's got a little primate in it. He's like Alberto's a little spider a monkey sitting on the edge of the bed, spanking
no,
it whenever
I...
he's
No, I have thumbs.
Good times.
Hey, man.
So,
monkey butter.
I guess quickly we can compare the two seasons. I think that it's pretty clear. I don't think we even really need to say, but I mean, would you guys agree that the season was overall better?
Yes.
I think so. Probably maybe it's just due to variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I think it is exactly that. There were so many different...
I was actually looking forward each week we were viewing it to see what they were going to do next kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think the cultural variety really helped. I still wish that they would vary up the storylines a bit more, but I feel like this one was... a little bit better in that sense than season one, but yeah, I think that overall this was. I still maintain. I think that for me the highs of season one were higher, but the lows of season one were much lower, and this one was good throughout. Like there was not if we had like a, you know, like a chart, it wouldn't have dipped below like a certain level. It would just go up and then kind of come back to
would
like
you
normal.
Say that you are happy to dip your balls in it?
No, I don't think I would say that. I don't know how you dip your balls in a digital episode.
Oh, very carefully.
I'd like to see you try.
There's the whole Ron thing you got to build. Takes a lot, but you can do it. You can do it.
Stick them through that little, crank up that little portal you run behind you on your other show there and stick one of your testicles through. Tell us what happens.
A little portal? What?
That little weird black portal you have behind you where you reach and grab snacks. Throw one of your testicles through there. See what happens.
You mean my camera background?
I thought it was a real portal, man. You lied to me.
Well, hey, I'm watching Skinwalker Ranch, man. I know all about portals now.
Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, it's a show on History Channel, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh no, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh wow,
yeah,
that sounds like
out.
Something I'd like to watch. Yeah, seriously. I have to look for that. I don't have that channel, but I might be able to find it elsewhere.
Well, because there's no history in Canada, that's why. Canada has no history.
That's so, sir. Did I remind you of a point in time where you some other Americans attempted to talk some shit like this once before, back in like 18s. I can't remember the date right now because I'm kind of stoned. But
back on,
we did come down
back
there
on
and
January,
burn down the White House.
Yeah, I was going to say back on January 6th.
No, much further back. Maybe it was January 6th, 1816. I don't know. It wasn't that long after the Civil War.
Well,
it wasn't that long after it was nearing completion.
I kid because I know Canada has history. And they were they were ruled by the British for a while. Still.
We still maintain some close relation to the British monarchy, but that's about it, just in figurehead status alone.
Yeah.
So some people do, some people don't. I tend to be one of the less liked people, and I kind of don't. I don't give a fuck about people who think they're above other people.
You prefer the French, right?
I did date a really nice French girl back in 97.
Because that's so relevant.
I did like
it's a very timely reference.
She was a very sweet lady.
Apparently not sweet enough.
No, it was also because I was a fucking rock and roll, fucking stoner alcoholic fucking bone monster.
Back you're a rock 90s. And roll hoochie coo.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll hoochie coo.
Rocky God, and roll.
No, it was even worse. It was after your guests that were on last week, dude. And the fact that I had to play that song a couple of weeks ago, I had that stuck in my head off and on for like the last week. Actually, she's I'm been on the show too. I forget that. Yep. Anyway, yeah, she got that. She brought that song, and it fucking was already in my head from having to pick it up for that thing a couple of weeks ago. And it was like, now it's stuck in my head, motherfuckers. Sing me some more of that Anthony Kiedis.
No, no thanks. Anthony Kiedis.
What I got to give it to your mama. What I got to give it to your papa. What I got to give it to your daughter. You do a little dance, then you drink a little water.
No, you don't drink water. You drink fucking moonshine.
Didn't rhyme.
With moonshine.
Give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away now. Yeehaw. Give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Oh my God.
Anthony Kiedis, man.
Anthony Kiedis. All right.
I should totally start a cover band that just does bluegrass versions of Chili Pepper songs and call it Anthony Kiedis.
You should. Do it right now.
Trademark. I'm saving that. If I see Anthony Kiedis come out before mine does, I'm going to be really upset.
All right. So now we've. Yeah, I think we've discussed this all that we can. I think overall we would say that this season was much better than the first overall. And who knows? I mean, I assume we're getting a season 3. Is that confirmed yet? Do you guys know?
I don't know if it's been confirmed.
But I would think they would. It's a neat product. What are the overall reviews on it? Have you guys seen any overall reviews on
Not really.
Season 2?
No, not really.
So, it doesn't seem like they have to put a lot into it. They're basically outsourcing to other studios. Of course, with all the strikes going on, we ain't going to see shit for a while.
It does. Okay, I did see there's an article here. Is comingsoon.net reliable?
Fuck, I don't know.
Anyway, it says Season 3 is in development at Disney Plus right now.
Yeah, we're good.
So it doesn't say, yeah, it doesn't really say anything about it other than that Lucasfilm has begun development on the third installment of this of it. So, all right, so we'll get more probably next year, but that is going to wrap up Star Wars Visions, and I mean over the next couple weeks, if you guys want to call in and start talking about Ahsoka, you can also let us know if you had a favorite episode of the season or something like that. If you guys want to get that in, send in a voice message to forceinsensitive@gmail.com and let us know.
Unless it's Double D talking about a new porno film him and Mars have fucking collaborated on.
Whoa.
In which case, that need not be a thing.
I don't want to know any more than that. Definitely
it's
not.
It's just Double D and Mars globe trotting around the world swaffling random people on the street.
Jesus Christ. Like like a true Double D?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's it.
Let's move on.
I'm just saying. He's going to call and he's going to say something fucking weird.
So next week, we are going to start with our coverage of Ahsoka. And what we're going to do is sort of just have a discussion about kind of set the scene of where the show begins. And what we mean is what has led up to this point in Ahsoka's career. Like talking about like Tales of the Jedi, where we see basically her birth. And her at a very young age, all the way up through Star Wars Rebels, and, you know, which obviously includes the Clone Wars, which is where she was originally introduced. And then in addition to that, obviously Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and let's see, I think that's it. Yeah. And just various other, you know, I don't think we'll touch on too much outside of the TV shows, but I mean, she does have at least one book, right, Alberto, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a book, but we probably won't really talk about that. But yeah, just kind of talk about Ahsoka and kind of her story, what she's all about, and maybe some episodes that you can check out before the show starts, just to kind of get a feel for the character. You know, not everyone has time to go back and watch all the animated shows, so if you haven't done so yet, hopefully we can, you know, at least call out maybe some episodes, or maybe just even talk about some lists that are available that you can find.
If you haven't watched them, you're a pox on yourself.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but I mean, since you did, I'll agree.
Well, they're only doing it to themselves. Like, if I would understand if it was something painful to get through, but it's not.
No, it's just time consuming. You know, at this point, you have so much to catch up on that, you know, Clone Wars is seven seasons.
Just watching the few episodes people recommend to watch.
Yeah.
Is, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, Ahsoka, I mean, most people who listen to this will know, but Ahsoka is by far one of the best written characters with a very awesome story arc in Star Wars
history. And not even just for Star Wars. Like, she's got a well-crafted story arc for any genre of film writing or storytelling.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So if you guys want to come check out, if you guys have thoughts about, I don't know, maybe your favorite episodes that Ahsoka was featured in, whether it's in Tales of the Jedi, Clone Wars, Rebels, or any of the live action stuff, or if there's certain elements that you really dug about the character, feel free to call in about that. And forceinsensitive@gmail.com is where you reach us. Send in a voice message or an email. Prefer voice messages, like to hear everyone's voice. And then there's also, we also have speakpipe.com/forceinsensitive. If you don't want to record, you know, from your phone, if you want, you can use a browser with this, speakpipe.com/forceinsensitive. So
if you'd like to speak into my pipe, you're always welcome.
Do not, whatever you do, do not speak into Rocky's pipe.
You know, it's really cool that if you speak into my pipe, you sound like fucking,
Chris Farley and, Luke, no. I'm your father.
No. I was going to say, fuck, I couldn't remember that. I can't, still can't remember his name, the artist that did it, but do you feel like I do?
I don't know.
The classic rock song.
Yeah.
Do you? He has the whole talk box guitar solo in the middle.
Oh. Oh, Billy Squire?
No, not Billy Squire.
He does the fucking talk box, though.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't. Don't tell me I'm a huge Billy Squire fan. I can tell you right now. That's not who you're thinking of. This guy was before Billy Squire. The guy came out in the 70s, and I can't remember his name now. Peter Frampton.
Oh. Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. You're right. Yep. See?
Oh,
I admitted
God.
I was wrong. Listen.
Right, and you said you're sorry. I'm impressed. This is a benchmark day for you. Therapy is working, and I'm very impressed.
Because it was actually Shadow Stevens. No, I'm just kidding.
Shadow Stevens.
Imagine him with a talk box.
Oh, God.
Peter Frampton, yeah. Frampy.
Frampton comes alive, son.
He's alive. He's alive.
Weird science.
All right, well, Alberto is going to turn into a pumpkin soon, so maybe this is a good time for you to turn into that pumpkin before we do news, Alberto. Unless you are just so excited about news, you just can't possibly tear yourself away from us.
Well, the only thing I'm excited about is the supposedly Amazon leaked that Hayden Christensen is going to be in at least one episode of Ahsoka. Okay.
Well, he's in. There's a trailer that shows him on what looks like an old transmission.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Oh, that's interesting. I actually hadn't seen that. That's cool though. I mean, yeah, you have them. You might as well fucking use them, right? Like, even if it's a flashback or whatever it ends up being, like, I don't know, like,
they're not going to have many more opportunities to put the two of them together,
right,
in live action. So you got to do it now.
It would be a cool thing. What if they do, what if, you know, Rosario Dawson's Ahsoka is watching an old transmission and then she has a flashback to talking to Anakin and they actually cast someone to play young Ahsoka.
That's what I'm assuming they're going to do.
You think they are?
Yeah.
That would be cool as fuck.
I mean, we weren't expecting to see, like, you know, episode 2 Anakin show up in Kenobi, so.
Yeah, that's very true.
Anything's on the table.
True.
But yeah.
Be quite honest, with all the live action Star Wars stuff, everything's always on the table, dude. They have managed to shock and surprise so many times that I don't put it past them to be able to squeak something in. Because right now, they've got a great misdirect. Everybody's wanting to see what Thrawn's going to be like live action. That we ain't watching what they're doing somewhere else. Somebody else could show up and be like, holy fuck, this is happening now?
Yeah, who could it be? Who could it be now?
If you say Mace Windu, I'm going to punch you right in the fucking...
It's going to be. He's coming back in Ahsoka. Alberto's going to fucking love it, too.
I'm just excited that somebody else thought about that whole, if they cast the young Ahsoka thing. I just think that would be so fucking neat.
Yeah. Be cool. Be pretty cool if they did.
All right.
You know the thing
about them young Togrudas?
No, I don't. Please don't talk to me about young Togrudas.
They get older, I stay the same.
Oh, fuck. Alberto, you might as well just do the yub-nub now before
we yub-nub.
All right, there you go.
My favorite.
See ya.
Timestamp that one and
I talked over it. I talked over it. It's not going to work.
Oh.
Fuck. All right, so let's do some news. Alberto's gone. See ya. Bye. The Acolyte stars describe the show's fight choreography and how it brings more aliens, more Jedi, and less green screen.
More aliens, dude, because you know that's been my complaint for a long time.
You know how many more aliens they can get? None more aliens.
Dude, I would love it if the whole fucking cast was fucking alien. I like my true hope with Taika Waititi Star Wars movie is Waititi. Like none of the main. Yeah, if none of the main cast were fucking human, would be fantastic.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Like, I mean, you could do the regular ones like Mirilon and Twi'lek, who are very humanoid looking, but like make there be an Athorian fucking gunner on the ship or fucking goddamn.
Good goddamn. How,
an Aqualish fucking main character.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it.
He's just spitting at you with that big face vagina.
Jesus Christ. Face vagina.
Or buttocks, whatever vagina, fucking gets you rolling.
Yeah.
He'd look like a big butt cheek on his face. But, dude, that has me jazzed. If there's more aliens. I know that when they showed some of the set photos very early on of the Jedi in their costumes walking onto set, there was a Wookiee.
Oh, yeah.
There is a Wookiee Jedi in this mix.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So I want to see a live-action Wookiee Jedi whooping some ass, dude.
Well, we're going to see it. We're definitely going to see it. Yep. So, yeah.
By the way, a little quick Black Series update in the news.
Yep.
Apparently the San Diego Comic-Con remold that they've just done of Black Kersantan, I saw a picture of it. He looks so much better than that first Chewbacca redo. He's like way buffer.
Oh, good.
And
good,
the fucking
yeah.
armor shit looks good. So the San Diego Comic-Con version of Kersantan looks pretty fucking good.
Good, because that other one was really disappointing.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I think they rushed to get that out to capitalize on Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it makes sense, but like, I don't know, like, people want to look fucking good, you know? Like, just don't wait a couple weeks and just put it out, you know?
I mean, they're already crowdsourcing the ghost, and they met that faster than any crowdsource project that HasLabs has done this far.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, take your time and put out a good one versus rushing something out to get a few bucks just to make a new version of it later. A, it's a waste of fucking plastic. And B, it's like, you know, I would rather wait for something really art, because the first few waves of Black Series were awesome. They were all well articulated. They were all fucking, you know, pretty well done. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until later years where they just started rushing out crap. It was just like, ugh, quality fell off huge.
Yeah. Oh, and just to go back real quick to the Acolyte news, Manny Jacinto says the fight sequences seek to satisfy fans of The Phantom Menace and Duel of the Fates. He says, if you loved that sequence with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Darth Maul, I think you're going to enjoy this show.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. All day long.
Charlie Barnett, I almost want to say Benante, but it's Barnett.
I thought you were going to say Bucket.
Charlie Bucket. He also chimed in.
Charlie Diddy Bucket.
Charlie Diddy Bucket. love Charlie Diddy Bucket.
Oh, fuck me. So, that was so great last week. It satiated a thought that's been running rampant in my mind for over a year now.
Jesus Christ.
I now at least have a tangible visual to relate to that term.
Oh, man. If only everyone knew what we're talking about.
Well, we talked about titty buckets on here first before well, everyone that is, knew
that
where
is,
else.
Yes, that is true. So, that's very
it was
true.
Quite some time ago.
All right, well, Charlie Barnett, whatever he says, I will say to, not to shade, but we have a lot more tangible physical moves than I saw in the Duel of the Fates fight. He says, as badass as it is, there's a lot more grounded work that goes into our stunt training and our stunt performances. We have an awesome stunt team, too, doing so much without cables, without CGI, and without a lot of effects. It makes the fight seem so much more visceral. I know I've been hit on the head a couple times.
Wow.
So it sounds like this is the action that we've been hoping for with Star Wars. That's what it seems like it's hinting at.
Well, the interesting thing is because this is a series that's taking place more focused on the dark side of things, I'm really curious to see what type of Sith are going to be prominent in this show, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Sith showing up in different points. And if they can turn this into a nightmare sequence of every horrible fucking Sith enemy you could think of in one fucking show, dude, that's... imagine fucking, like, Hellraiser, but they're all Sith. So they all have very distinct fucking personalities, behaviors, and looks, but they're all scary as fuck.
Yeah, no, I'm down with that, for sure. Yeah, no, it sounds... It sounds. I can't wait. I can't wait for the Acolyte. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, if it's a change of pace from things we've done, because once again, Andor just knocked it out of the park for something so different.
For
but
sure.
So what it needed to be, and I'm hoping this will do that too. And make us the Dathomir, for fuck's sake. Could you tell me you're not going to get excited to see live-action Dathomir for the first time?
Oh, fuck yeah. I would love that.
That is the Force insensitive homeworld.
Yeah, if we had anywhere to like hang out, that's where it'd be. The birthplace of the Rancor.
We have a little fucking security grid enhanced camp right in the middle of a fucking Rancor breeding ground. That's where we broadcast from every week.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we talked about Lando last week, that Justin Simien hadn't heard from the Lucasfilm in like 2 years or something like that. Well, funny thing is, this week they announced that Donald Glover and his brother Stephen Glover are now writing the Disney Plus series, and Justin Simien has exited. So I guess he wasn't kidding. He hasn't heard from them.
You know what? Glover is a very talented guy. And
he's fucking great.
His brother is involved, if I'm not mistaken, in the Atlanta show that he does. And
I got to watching that, and that's a very well crafted show that bounces between fucking ridiculous humor sometimes, combined with like some pretty fucked up moments. So,
he's the showrunner for Atlanta, it looks like.
So, we could get a very interesting story of Lando Adventures. I think that they will give an edge to that show that might actually be pretty good. So,
he also,
I'm not assuming what the other guys work.
He also wrote 15 episodes of Atlanta while being the showrunner as well. So,
gotcha. Yeah. So, that's not a bad thing. I think they would give a very... We always talk about having the underworld feel like the underworld.
Yeah.
I think the type of story they could tell, judging from how they tell some certain stories in Atlanta, could take us to some... You're still able to get the chuckle in a dark situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen Atlanta, but I think Donald Glover's super talented, so I'm...
I know Darth Corney's going to wring my ass, because for the life of me now, I can't remember one of the main characters, the rapper dude.
In Atlanta?
In Atlanta, who's one of the main characters, and I can't remember his fucking character's name for shit right now. Now Darth Corney's going to kick my ass, but
Brian Tyree Henry? Lakeith Stanfield? Zaza Beetz? Chris Davis.
Bradley Beats was in Deadpool 2, though.
Yep. RJ Walker, Matt Barnes.
No, he's a large guy.
Large guy. Cat Williams is in it.
If you're looking at the picture, he's one of the three main characters. However, the other dude's funny, too. The guy that plays the hang around buddy, stoner guy.
Must be Brian Tyree Henry.
What's his character's name? Because that's what he'll tell me. I don't know the actor's name all that well. But that character's name was killing me.
Alfred Paperboy Miles?
Yeah, Paperboy.
Okay.
Paperboy's the rapper, yeah. So anyway.
That's him, yeah. Brian Tyree Henry.
Gotcha.
Oh, shit. I recognize him from Bullet Train. Did you see that movie, Bullet Train?
Yes, I did. He was in Bullet Train?
Yeah. He was Lemon. There's Tangerine and Lemon, the two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He played Lemon. That's what I was like. I recognize that guy. He was fucking awesome in that.
Fuck. I have to go back and...
Yeah, he was hilarious on that. Talking about Thomas the... Was it Thomas the... Tank
Thomas
engine?
The
Thomas the...
Steam engine.
The steam engine or whatever train. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Is that dude in season two of Atlanta, he gets a European club tour. So they go over to Europe to do a tour, and they fucking end up in Amsterdam. And all I can tell you, dude, is the two-part episode where they're in Amsterdam, dude, is just fucked up. It's like both heavy and like, because when you take hallucinogens, it really does open up your mind and you have epiphanies about yourself that if you can remember them coming out of it, really help you evolve as a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
So it takes you through that heady part of it where he does have his life epiphanies during it. But the bizarre shit, there is a fucking scene, no word of a lie, dude, where he's tripping balls. He's in a bar and fucking he sits next to Liam Neeson. And they immediately go into what Liam Neeson said that was kind of derogatory that came out a few years ago in a past comment about a black dude. And they literally fucking have that conversation while this dude is tripping balls about that. And Liam Neeson is explaining himself. It is fucking amazing, man. Yeah. It is fucking amazing. So the writing crew over there at Atlanta, man, they could do a really good job telling a Lando story.
Well, looks like they've already worked with Liam Neeson, so.
Yep. Qui-Gon Jinn's been in the mix, son.
Liam Neeson's. So, yeah, looking forward to that. I'm not going to read the whole article here, but I'm reading this review here of Mandalorian Season 2, Chapter 10, comic book. Apparently, this review says that the passenger, that's the one where they meet the frog lady and the big ice spider or whatever. The review says that it works even better as a comic. So It's kind of interesting.
Really?
If they're able to expand it, I'd like to see what they were able to do with it. So I guess, yeah, I guess you can check that out. But that's pretty cool. Let's see what else we have here in the news. People can look for it if they want, but apparently, I mean, Rosario Dawson's doing a lot of press. She talks about Dave Filoni's prep work on Ahsoka and how it was to reunite with Mary Elizabeth Winstead. So that's pretty good. And
I want to hear more from our girl Sabine.
Yeah. Oh, this is funny. Lando, another report, Justin Simien was unaware that he was dismissed from the series and wishes Glover Brothers good luck. So apparently he was removed from the series, but had no idea until he saw it in the news, I guess. If true, that's fucked up.
Yeah, but it is Disney. For yep. as much as the little Nazi mouth has us by our jiggly part.
Jesus. Jigglypuff.
You know, I hate the little motherfucker too, but I mean he's feeding me the glurg through the tube in prison, so you know.
Are you talking about, is that an Andor reference?
Yeah, the food tube.
The food tube?
Yeah. So.
All right, what
it's
else?
It's sad, but.
Yeah, it is.
This day and age, man, it's anything that hits my joy button is just like necessary anymore. I've become that primate where I just need to fucking hit a button for a treat every once in a while to keep losing my mind and ripping some cool girl's eyeballs out at the fucking zoo.
So I found a countdown to Ahsoka character watch guide.
Don't need nothing but a corn turd. How can I shit this? Don't need nothing but a corn turd. It don't get more painful than this.
I love that people are going to be like, what the fuck just happened?
I take a crap for all of us.
You know what?
We're taking a crap every day.
You know what, everyone? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know anything else. Don't worry about it.
We went to another dimension for a few minutes.
Yeah,
there.
We went through that wormhole that we talked about earlier.
We were in the multiverse.
Don't need nothing but a wormhole.
We were in the multiverse of sadness.
Yeah, we were. I think we named an episode that.
Multiverse of Sadness?
Or maybe that was my other podcast.
That sounds more like a TOT thing.
Yeah, it might have been, actually. So, yeah, well, there you go.
Play that solo, man.
Whatever, I don't know. We're almost done.
I'm gonna end up playing that at a gig at some point.
We're almost done here. Let me see what we got. Okay, so we talked about the Ahsoka thing. Star Wars Jedi Survivor to receive ports for Xbox One and PlayStation 4. For anyone still on those.
I would be still on an Xbox One if it hadn't died a year ago.
Oh, true, yeah. New episodes of Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures now on Disney Plus.
I haven't watched that yet.
I haven't either. And that's it. That's all I got. That's all for the news.
There you go.
So what do you got? Anything else?
I've got these wonderful sugar-free Werther's Originals.
Oh, my God. You're such an old man.
Dude, they taste good. I don't give a fuck, man. Old men obviously are wise in the fact that Werther's Originals are the shit, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Werther's Originals are the shit, man, huh?
Yeah. Don't need nothing
but a corn turd.
I wish everybody could have been there for that.
They could have.
You gotta get your time portals working, people.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had a friend of mine send me a picture of a swimming pool.
What? Big round. That's weird.
No, check it out. It's a big round swimming pool, but it's the Stargate.
That's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like a big round pool.
Yeah, it's a big round pool, but, you know, around the edges, it's the Stargate. I don't know if it's got an iris to close or not. It'd be cool if the fucking off-season cover was the iris closing.
Be pretty cool if it did.
Pretty cool if it did. So let me ask you a question.
Oh, boy. All right. Go ahead.
So.
Thankfully, Alberto said it already, so we don't have to wait.
So. Ahsoka.
Yes.
Do you think she went through some rough times post, let's say after she hooked up with the sisters who had the garage, when she finally got off and truly was away from Coruscant and on the run?
She got off?
Yeah.
With the sisters?
What?
That's a fucking, that'll break the internet, I'll tell you that much.
What if she traveled the galaxy, like going on benders, getting fucked up, getting, you know, smoking death sticks, just fucking, you know, hard living, dude. She was down on her luck. She had no money. She's on the run. You know, do you think, when you think of the weird cadre of alien sex organs,
Yep.
Do you think maybe she wandered just like, could you imagine swaffling a Togruta?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Alberto said it already, so it's okay. To Yub Nub.
Do you think aliens get spectral?
Well, don't they swaffle themselves with their, I don't know, they're not Leku, but Leku-like things? They're fleshy bits?
Yeah, they're Leku. They're like...
Would you rather be swaffled by a Togruta or Twi'lek?
Twi'lek.
What about 10 Togrutas or 2 Twi'leks?
Twi'lek.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, everybody. That's the episode. Come back next week. We're going to be talking about some Ahsoka stuff. We'll kind of get a little catch up of where we are. That's it. Say bye, everybody, or Rocky.
Don't need nothing but a corn turd. How can I shit this?